But you know, I'd be a little amiss today if I didn't thank the worship team for leading us right into the throne room with a million angels falling face down on the floor. And Karen sharing an experience with Jesus. Thank you guys. So it also amazes me that this message that I'm able to give you today, the content of the message has been completely battling with me for a great deal of the last 2 days. Anxiety and fear and all of that, and being up here in front of you guys speaking. But then I walk in today and I'm asking God most of the night as I wake up throughout the night, and I'm concerned about this adventure I'm on right now. And I'm asking for reassurances. You know, I'm asking, you know, hey, just like every one of us in this room and probably there on Facebook, give me a sign, Lord. Give me a sign. So then Dwayne steals one of my scriptures. You know? Karen shares a story that just totally fits in line. And as I've been working over the last few weeks, and I don't converse with anybody, JR's subject matter for the next series that he's right in line with it too. So it's just amazing to me the reassurances that we're given and the orchestration that God has over all of our lives all of the time. So as you know, most of my sermons are super short. They're pretty much to the point, and I'm going to try not to be as nervous as I normally am. So there's no fear in love. Anxiety and fear, anger, depression, hopelessness, all equal ineffectivity. Satan's goal is to make every one of us fearful and ineffective. And it's a simple task in today's world, especially for a non-believer, someone who has not experienced the life-changing power of God's grace and love. So I look through the headlines today, and there's so many things in the world today that we could be fearful of, that non-believers are fearful of. I mean, we've got wars, we've got pandemics, we've got crime, we've got violence, we have so much stuff going on. And you go through the first 8 headlines, and I try not to read the news, I just kind of scan the headlines to see what's going on in the world, because I'm not really sure if the information is real or not, you know. I know that the information right here is absolutely for real. But, you know, I got all the way down, I don't know, maybe 9 or 10 headlines, and it amazed me, and I won't say that the political followings of this mayor or anything else, but this mayor says, and it comes from a very unlikely mayor, that unloved youth are the cause of the latest crime surge. No love. Unloved youth is the source. And man, I really have to think that that particular mayor is probably on point with that, honestly. But what about us believers? What about us right here today? Is fear and anxiety a sin? No. But fear and anxiety can eat up all of our energy, take over our lives for a period of time if we let it, and make us ineffective. Proverbs 12:25 tells us anxiety weighs down the heart. But we were not created in God's image to live this way with fear. There are many verses that a lot of us know concerning fear, from the earliest of the Old Testament to Revelation. Fear is mentioned, they say, 365 times, and I've never been able to count that. But a couple of those scriptures, Isaiah 35:4, say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He's coming to save you. Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I think it's kind of important in that one, you know, that it's his rod and staff. You know, it's not up to us. All we are called to do is love. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In 1 John 4:18, we're going to look at two verses. In 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So, I mean, here's three or four fears and three or four loves, all in two short sentences, about love combating fear, love combating the fact that we're of ineffectivity because we're afraid. 2nd verse is 2 Timothy 1-7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. In some translations, it's timidity. We're not made to be timid. We're not made to be fearful. We're conquerors through Christ. It's so easy to become afraid. You know, you're not a public speaker. You're not somebody that just opens up to somebody at the grocery store. You're not somebody that does this or does that. And I think Moses is a great example of that. You know, I mean, that guy didn't want to be up in front. He really didn't. But, you know, God gave him a staff. God gave him everything he needed, and he was very effective. Even though he never got to actually get to the land, he still got to see it. I'd like to close a question here. Aren't most of our fears and the source of our anxiety about things we have little or no control over? Aren't they caused by the things of this world? So Dwayne shared this earlier. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than the birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? So we've become wrapped up in the world. I'm not going to say we're all wrapped up in the world. That was kind of a poorly put way of doing that, but it's so easy to get wrapped up in the world, worrying about, you know, you lost your job, the pandemic came along and things changed greatly for you, your income changed, you're ill, there's just so many things of the world, you know, that we get so sidetracked with, and we get so worried about, and we get so consumed with fear about, that there we are ineffective again. So I know, yeah, Ed, this is all truth, but what do we do about it? How do we apply it? Focus, focus, focus on Jesus. Focus on love. Jesus says the greatest of these is love. I mean, he has There's a whole half of Bible about what Jesus says. And he says the greatest of them is love. And as we've already looked at several scriptures, there is no fear in love. Satan has no control over us when we have love. Hebrews 13:5 kind of goes into the, it tells us about what we're worrying about and what we're concerned about, really. Kind of goes right along with the last one that we went with. But it's an answer to that. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Psalm 121, 1 through 2. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So as a personal experience, you know, my help comes direct from God, it says right here. So in my line of business, I'm in the automotive industry. We do automotive repair. Man, I tell you, there's really nothing better than a technical service bulletin right from the manufacturer. It tells us, hey, this is what you need to correct this problem. This is the problem many people are seeing. These are the problems that we're having with this particular model. And there's a technical service bulletin about it. We don't have to go in and try to figure everything out by ourselves sometimes. Sometimes we do. You know, sometimes it's a new problem. But, you know, you get into the service manual for that problem, and you can find the answers on how to test for that problem. Just like this is our manufacturer's technical service bulletin. There's absolutely no better information than from the manufacturer normally. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. It's really, I don't know, this seems to be an ongoing discussion throughout this whole year, you know. It seems like it's always being brought up. But it's a great proverb. But we get so wrapped up in our knowledge that we don't always go to him first. And I speak this as a guilty person. I'm not throwing out anything that isn't meant for me. In an article that I read, it said it better than I could. It said, you are a child of God, born and molded to become a warrior, a victorious masterpiece. A masterpiece. I love the word that the author used there. So I'll leave you with Romans 8:37-39. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I said a little bit earlier, no fear in perfect love. Jesus is the only perfect love that we have an example of. That's why, I mean, we're really supposed to follow, I mean, try to be just like Jesus. You see a little, I don't know, I was always curious about this, and this wasn't really today's deal, but here we go. Jesus is in the garden and he's almost fearful. But he knows what he needs to do. It doesn't say that he's fearful, but he's concerned. He's, you know, he he totally gives us an example of his concern for that situation, for his impending crucifixion. And where does he go? Where does he go first? Right to God. He goes right to God with it. He knows what's going to happen, and he's still right there with the Lord. He doesn't have a fight or a flight attitude about it. He knows what his purpose is. He knows what the end is. He knows how the story ends, as the song said today. And he knows that's God's will, and he's in it. More than conquerors, inseparable from the love of God. It's kind of funny, I don't do a lot of reading. And I'm sure this is an old saying, but I just discovered it. And it says, let go, let God. I can't believe I've missed that. But I found it, and I'm like, wow, that's stinking cool. So I would urge all of us to let God. Turn our fears and anxiousness into excitement. Excitement in the wonder and knowledge that God is moving for our good in every situation. He's moving for good in every situation. I've shared this in men's, and I might have shared it here before, but when I first started walking with the Lord, and I was all excited like all of us were then, it was very shortly after that I had an accident. And I was laid up for a while, and I lost the best job I'd ever had, the longest job I've ever had. I really thought that was where I was going to be for a very long time, probably until I retired. There were so many unknowns in that situation. I mean, there were a huge amount of unknowns in that situation as I was laying there with my neck all boarded up and Sarah Lynn's off at work and I'm, you know, and of course, I mean, I'm a new believer. I'm in the book, you know, and I am reading other books at that point. And, I remember very well that I was excited about it. I wasn't worried. I wasn't concerned. I was like, all right, where does this go? What do I need to do to follow along with where this goes? And I mean, I truly was. I was excited about it. I'm like, wow, this is happening to me. Where am I going? Is this where I'm going to like not even worry about having a job the rest of my life? And I'm going to put on my sandals and I'm going to walk out the door and I'm going to spread the love of God everywhere that I go. And I'm going to be just like these birds, just like everything else, that I'm not going to have to worry about anything. I'll show up at churches on Wednesday. They always have a meal on Wednesday nights. I'll show up on potlucks. It's on the third Sunday of every month at almost every church you go to. You're not going to starve. You know the ins, you know the outs, you know how churches work, you know how God works in the churches. So, I mean, I was truly excited, and I would urge all of us to try to get back to that point. Get back to the point that, wow, this is for lack of a better term, this is a real rap fest. This is not anything that I had planned. This is not in my plans. I'm sure this plan isn't of God. He wouldn't do this to me. And you know, he probably didn't have anything to do with it happening to you. The fact is, Satan seeks to destroy. It's when those things, when Satan does break through and get hold of things, it's how we deal with it, getting with God to overcome it. So there's going to be trials and tribulations and hardships and injuries and losses and all sorts of tactics by the enemy to bring us down. Get excited about it. Consult God about everything. Put on the full armor. Every morning, just look over the list of armor that you got to put on. It's like a checklist for a pilot. You know, you get a pilot out there that's been flying for 15, 20 years. Most of them still check their checklist, mostly because they've been at it 15 or 20 years, and it's really easy to forget a step. It's really easy to forget, did I check to see if I had water in my tanks? Did I check to see, you know, that the landing gear is properly attached, that nobody came by while I was parked and borrowed a piece off of my aircraft? So get that little check sheet out, that armor of God. Check it out every morning and remember to put on each and every piece and what each and every piece reminds is meant to. Each and every piece has a purpose and what that purpose is and how it's going to affect your day. And move forward with His power and love. Mostly with His love. We overcome everything through love. I mean, we've looked at a very short list of scriptures here, really, that show us how we overpower everything with love. And, it's really easy. It's really easy to be angry. You know, it's super easy to be angry. We have people coming in. You see them in customer service lines. You know, they're blowing up over, you know, something that we look at, you know, or somebody else might look at it as, wow, dude, just mellow out. I'm sure they're going to make it right. Or I'm sure they can explain how that happened. But man, I mean, the world that we live in today and everything that we have going on around us, especially for the people that don't have a foundation, that don't know of the love and the power in the love and the blood of Jesus, the power and the blood of Jesus, the people that don't know that, they're just angry. It's fight or flight. Everybody wants to fight now. So I think it's important for us, as we see these situations unfolding around us, to not join in. Not join in with the anger. You can't fight anger with anger. Just blows up the situation. But at the same time, I mean, you just can't, you're not going to diffuse a situation by being all lovey either. But you have to have some empathy. You have to have some concern for that human being. So I would just hope that we would remember that throughout this next week and month and the rest of the year as people get more and more angry around us that don't have the love of God. And that's about it. That really is about it.